of the pursuit that the Lord Jesus Christ has for each one of us. And there's times where we get caught into that situation of life where we're constantly being pulled in one direction or another from things that take us away from God. We're being pulled by things that shield us from God and things that are destructive in our lives. And we sometimes ask the question in the midst of all that, God, do you love me? How do we know that God loves us? And that's a legitimate question to ask because sometimes we just don't feel it. But folks, we celebrate Easter today and God shows us how much He loves us. So we ask that question, God, do you love me? Or maybe you don't ask that question, God, do you love me? You ask the question, God, can you love me? Is it possible for you to love someone like me who has walked away from you, who has been a part of things that don't honor you and that go against what your word says? Is it even possible for you to love me? I think those questions are legitimate questions to ask, and I think the Bible gives us some clear answers to that. I think that's maybe what the Christians in Ephesus were facing with the Apostle Paul when he addressed them with this very issue and answering that very question. And if you have your outlines with you, you can open them up. And I'm going to be reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And what I have here is the New Living Translation as I have it in your bulletins here as you follow along. Paul says this, "Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him." He says, the first thing is this, when you become a believer, when you take what Jesus has offered you and you put it in your heart, he says, He will make His home in your heart. And then listen to what happens once we do that. It says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. He says, God loves us so much that I want you to get a taste of a little bit of what it's like and how wide and long and tall and deep it is. He said, but we really can't fully love it. I'm reminded of maybe my children a little bit. My kids, I don't think my kids know how much I love them. Now maybe if you're a parent, you can identify with them. They don't understand that when they hurt, I hurt. That I want to protect them, that I want to know everything about them. I just don't think my kids understand that level of love that I have for them. And it's the same with Christ. I don't think we understand how much God loves us. But he says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. And then listen to what happens. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. When we clothe ourselves in Christ, when we reach out to Him and He is pursuing us, then what does it say here? It says, we will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. How many times, though, in that skit that our teens brought, do we stop reaching out to God when things get tough? We stop reaching out to Him. But that girl, she never gave up. And she had the power that comes from God. At Easter, we celebrate God's love for us. The Apostle Paul also says in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinning, He knew that Chad Babbert was going to mess up in life. He knew that I was going to sin. He knew that I was going to turn from Him. He knew that at points I was going to deny Him, which I have. I'm human. I'm fallen. I'm not perfect. And we all have, haven't we? He says, even though I know that you're going to do all these things, He knew that He was going to be crucified on the cross, but He knows that that's not the end of the story. He died for us. That's how much He loves us. That's how He demonstrates His love to us. And then we celebrate His victory over death at Easter, which gives us the power to live in accordance with Him. And so this Easter, I want us to look at Scripture, and I want us to see a couple of ways, a few ways here, that God shows His love for us. And if you ever doubt God's love, and I think sometimes, you know what, that happens. We doubt it, but here's how we know that God loves us. First, I know that God loves me because He created me and He knows me. I love what the psalmist writes here in Psalm 145, 17. This is the Message paraphrase. Everything God does is right. Guess what He did? He created you. And He says, everything that God does is right. And the trademark of His works is love. He created us and He loves us. That's the trademark. You know, we live in a culture and society today that tells us that you're not good enough. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. And it seems everywhere around society tells us that we're not good enough. But if we read the Scripture, the way that I know that God loves me is because He created me. What He does is right. And He created me. And He put His mark of love in me. He also knows me. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, God says, before you were even created, I knew you. I knew you. That means this, folks, that thousands of years ago, God loves you so much that He knew that you were going to exist today. God knew that today, on March 31st in 2013, that we would all be in here listening and being inspired by what the teams demonstrated to us and listening to His Word and touching our hearts. He knew that. It goes on to in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, that He even knows the very hairs of your head and that they are numbered. Now, for some of us, He knows a little bit easier than others. Oh, man, I tell you what, I saw a picture of myself the other day. You really don't know how much God... Now, ladies, you may not have to deal with this, but guys, you get that picture? It's like every year my forehead gets a little bit bigger and bigger. You know, from here back, I'm all right. But from here, I'm like, oh my goodness. But you know what? God knows how many hairs I do or I do not have. But you know what? Knowing the amount of hairs on our head is not the issue here, is it? The issue is this, that God knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. Why? Because He created us. He knew about us even before we were formed in the womb. He knows about everything. Some of you are going through a difficult time right now. And I want you to know that God is acutely aware of it. He knows the physical pain that you're going through or the sickness that you're dealing with. He knows the emotional stress that you're facing in a relationship, maybe in your marriage or in your relationship with your children. He understands the stress that you're going through financially. He knows what's happening in your life from the great moments all the way to the very hurts. And He knows us because He loves us. And that's how He loves us. And you think, well, that's great, Chad. God created me and He knows me, but how does that help me today? Because guess what? He doesn't stop there. It's not just about creating us and knowing us. Some people like to think that God started to put the earth in motion and sort of stepped back and said, okay, good luck, everybody. It goes much more beyond that. And it's this, that He also has a plan for me. I know that God loves me because He has a plan for my life. The Bible's very clear about that. He wants what is best for me. And here's what I realized in life. In life, I've realized that God knows how to make me happy, how to make me fulfilled, how to make me feel like I have purpose and value in life much more than I do. I realized that, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. I realize that there are times in my life where I don't follow God's plan. And what happens is I try to take matters into my own hands. And guess what that leaves me to make my decisions with? My intuition. Now, my intuition is sometimes flawed, as my family will tell you with full honesty. I do things when I step outside of what God's plan is for me, things that make sense to me. But because I'm a sinner, because I have brokenness in my life, because I'm selfish at times, if I just use my intuition, I find myself making decisions that lead down a path of destruction and that lead down a path of heartache. I've seen it many times in my life. Maybe you've experienced it too. We do this in all areas. We do it relationally. We pursue a relationship and we think, well, this is what I want. This is what will make me happy. But we know it may be outside of what God intends, and we go down this path and we pursue it, and it usually winds up with heartache and hurt. Sometimes we do this with our money. We don't look to the scripture of how we handle money. We think, I want to have this, and I want to do this, and I want to spend this, and I want to make all kinds of money, and we follow down that path, which leads to destruction in a couple of ways. One, we become so materialistic that we spend all of our money and we go into debt up to our eyeballs. Or two, we're so possessed with making money that we abandon our family and anything else, and we abandon God just to pursue that. And we wind up in brokenness. And it can go for all areas of our life. But listen to what Jesus says. When we follow His path, His plan that He has marked out for us, He says that I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full, Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Wow. You see, God knows what will make me happy and fulfilled way more than I do. And see, when I get on His path by following Him, by reading His Word, by seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit, then my life is much fuller. And on the surface, it may seem like I'm sacrificing some other things. But in reality is, I'm saying yes to putting God as a priority in my life and following His plan. And you see what He came to give? He came to give us a full life. He didn't come to give us religion. He didn't come to give us a bunch of rules to follow. He came to give us a relationship, which is what Easter is all about. But here's the thing. See, you can be a believer and you can be a Christian and still walk your own path. You see, there's a difference between believing in God and believing in Jesus as our Savior and having that promise to get into heaven and following God as our Lord and submitting our lives to Him. And I know that because He has this plan for me, He loves me. He loves me. So I know that God loves me this Easter because He created me and He knows me. He also has a plan for me. Well, the third way that God shows His love for me, which is what we celebrate every Sunday, and that's this, that He forgives me when I seek forgiveness. See, I believe the number one reason that people don't get to know God is because of a tremendous amount of guilt that we walk around with in our lives. C.S. Lewis talks about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He talks about at the point in our lives when we're broken, the point in our lives where we're at the end of our rope and we've fallen away from God and we've done some things that separate us from God. He says that's when we need God the most. But that's when the devil steps in and says, you know what, God can't accept you. Look at you. You're a mess. Your life's a disaster. And what do? We pull away from God. And instead of embracing His church, which is there so we can walk together and hold each other up and hold each other accountable, what do? I don't want to go to church because it's just going to remind me of all the things that I don't do right. But see, God didn't come to give just a list of rules to follow, folks. He came to have a relationship with each one of us. Bottom line is this, it's found in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But listen to this, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's why we have the resurrection. That's why it's so important. Because of the resurrection, you and I can have forgiveness of our hang-ups and our past. See, I think for too many of us, our past is an anchor that holds us back from experiencing joy and fullness in life. We try to move forward and, oh, no, we have this sin in the past. We have this hurt in the past. We have all these things in the past. God says, hey, I'm here to break you free from that, just as it was demonstrated with the teen so excellently. I'm here to break you free from that. He forgives me. But let me ask you this today. What is keeping you away from God? What's keeping you away from experiencing that fullness of life? What's it keeping you from experiencing the forgiveness? Maybe at one time you were close with God, but now you're far away. You know, I don't know what it is. Maybe you feel this guilt that God couldn't accept you with that. Maybe you say, well, what would God say if I went to Him? What would God say after living the life that I've lived and fallen away and, you know, all these things? What would He say? I'll tell you exactly what He would say. He would say, my love is deep enough for you. I want you to come back to me. I think this is really, really well illustrated in the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And some of you may be aware of it, but it's found in the book of Luke chapter 15. And I'm just going to tell the story here. And there was a young man who was raised, and his father had lots of land and cattle. He's very affluent. And in those days, a young man could go to his father and ask for his inheritance early. And this young man apparently thought, well, I think living life outside of my home is better than living life under the dad's roof. You know, have anyone been there before? You know, I remember my dad saying, son, when you get your own place, you can do it however you want. But while you're living here, you're going to do it this way. Anybody ever get one of those? You know what? I'm starting to say that now. But, you know, that's how it was with this young man. And he's getting a little, you know, discontent at home. So he goes to his father and he says, Dad, can I have my inheritance? I think it was reluctantly probably that the father gave him his inheritance, but understood the need for this child to experience these things. And so he gives him the inheritance. And the young man, I mean, he just goes crazy. I mean, he just goes nuts. I mean, it is wine, women, and song. He's partying it up. He's spending money like there's no tomorrow. He's going out and he's doing all these things. But if you ever live that kind of lifestyle, you know that there comes a point where it all comes crashing down. And that's what happened to this young man. He got to the end of his rope. He ran out of money. He ran out of booze. And consequently, you know, when you run with that type of crowd, as soon as you run out of your booze and your money, all your friends go away, don't they? And so here's where he was. He was all alone. He had no money. He was desperate. He was so desperate that in order for him to eat, he had to go out to the where the pigs eat, in the pig troughs. Have you ever seen a pig trough? That is some nasty stuff. And yet with the bugs and the pigs, he had to, and that's dangerous too, by the way, because they can turn on you. But he had to get down there with the pigs, and he had to eat. But what he didn't realize is that his father was home praying and hoping that his son would return. And so here's the son. He's at the end of his rope. And finally he says, maybe what dad had to say, you know, maybe that wasn't so bad. Maybe what I thought was restrictive and what I thought was mean and just a bunch of rules, maybe there is some truth to that. And so he swallowed his pride and his arrogance, and he tucked his tail between his legs, and he walked, and he started the journey home. I can just imagine every morning this father would go out on the veranda, and as he would look out over the hills of where his cattle were and where his land, he would search the horizon every day looking for his son. And maybe this was a ritual that went on for a while, but he never gave up hope, because he was out there one morning and he was looking and he was scanning the horizon. And I can just imagine that as he's scanning the horizon, he can see a faint figure beginning to walk and arise in the landscape. And it didn't take him long probably to recognize the unique walk of a son. You know, you can tell your kids a mile away from how they walk, can't you? You can see your kids like, oh, that's my son, or that's my daughter. I can tell by the way they're walking. And I can just see, he probably couldn't make out who he was, but he knew that it was his son, maybe even just by his walk. Maybe the son's head was hung in shame. And you can think of the son, you know, he was probably thinking, oh my goodness, what's my dad going to say? What's dad going to do? He's going to call me all, you know, he's going to tell me I told you so. Have you ever done anything bad and you've worried about what's going to happen when you get found out? Anybody do that? Yeah, I have. And I'm sure that's what this kid was going through. Oh, what's dad going to say? What's he going to do? You know, I've wasted all my money. Everything that he worked so hard for, I just threw it away. I'm sure he was anticipating the worst, but listen to the response. And listen to how his dad responded in the book of Luke chapter 15. I'm in verse 20. He says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him." Probably not what the son was expecting, but it is the picture of what Jesus does anytime you and I fall away and we come back to him. You see, it all goes back to this description that we find in the book of Ephesians. How much does God love us? He loves us wide enough to include everybody. Nobody is out of the reach of Jesus' arms. That's how wide he loves us. He loves us long enough to last forever. I remember I was at a bedside of an ailing elderly gentleman, and I was talking to him about accepting Jesus into his heart, and he looked at me and said, "Son, I've been a sinner too long for God to forgive me." I said, "There's no time limit that you have to accept Jesus within a certain amount of time. It's long enough. It'll last forever. The offer is there. It's high enough to be everywhere. And it's deep enough to meet your needs." You see, as we come to this time of Easter, it is the greatest story, the greatest comeback story of all time. And the reason why is because God loved us so much. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And it's the power that raised him from the dead. That's the same power that you and I have access to live our life in accordance with his plan and with his will. And that's the purpose and the story of Easter. Let me ask you this morning. What's holding you back from God? Would you pray with me?